Chapter 6, I want to apologize to Jack for those names that we threw at you there to have to read. Always, just never know. Acts chapter 6, we're moving along in this book of Acts. It's so exciting. We saw that Jesus, he commissioned his disciples before he ascended into heaven. He said, "You will be witnesses to me. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have the power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." And what we're seeing is this power of God working in through the apostles and the church, this new church of people. Thousands of people are believing the good news that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so the apostles are preaching this, and they get in trouble. They get in trouble. There are those in the temple who are against this message. They want to keep everyone under the Old Testament, keep them under the law. They want to keep them appreciating the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. And they don't like, in fact, the text tells us they were jealous of the apostles, because people were coming and hearing the word of God taught, the message about Jesus being proclaimed. The apostles also had the power to heal, and that validated who they were and what they were saying, the power of God working through them as this first church began. So they were threatened, they were arrested, and then they were beaten and told, "Do not preach in the name of Jesus anymore." And yet, they just kept right on preaching. They kept right on proclaiming the truth. And every day, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They did not stop, even though they were beaten for it and threatened for it. They just kept proclaiming their risen Savior would save any who believe. So it seems like the perfect church. I mean, other than the Ananias and Sapphira situation, where they lied about how much that they gave, and the Lord judged them instantly for that. But here they are, the people are praising God, many people are coming, and with growth can come growing pains. Growing pains. I heard you laugh about that, Levi. You act like maybe you have firsthand experience of growing pains as a teenager. You're like, why does my leg hurt? And just the one, not both of them. Well, it's probably growing pains. So we see some of that happening here in Acts chapter 6. And there's so many people and their needs that are not being met. And so what they decide to do, what the apostles decide to do, is share the load. And share the load. This opportunity of ministry comes upon them, and the apostles realize, hey, there's only a few of us. We need to have help. We need to get help together. And so let's pray, and we'll talk about this sharing the load and how God blesses team ministry. Father, we thank you again that we can come together today. I've really enjoyed the singing, the worship that we have given to you. I pray that it glorifies you. Father, I thank you for Rachel being here and for her ministry, and we pray you would bless the Pregnancy Care Center, that truly lives would literally be saved through their ministry, and then families would be blessed. Lord, as we open your word this morning, I pray you would challenge us as a church towards team ministry, that we work together, that we meet needs as you give us the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to stress to you again and again is that God blesses team ministry. God blesses team ministry. And what we're going to do is, it's a little bit different. My outline is a little bit different because I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you the outline. I'm just going to put it up there, and then we'll go through the verses together, okay? Usually we do a point, and then we talk about it, and then another point, and we talk about it. But I don't want to get you too, used to things, or I don't want you to become bored You know, like you always know what's going to happen. So I'll just give you these three things. God blesses team ministry that is, number one, prayer-driven. Number two, gospel-centered. And God blesses team ministry that is servant-led. So three things I think we'll see in this text that God is blessing a church that works together and has team ministry. So look at these verses with me. Verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, okay, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So in these days, we're talking about the time the church is new, they are being persecuted, and they are proclaiming the gospel. That's what's happening in these days. And during that time, God is adding souls to the church. Salvation is God's work. He brings in people. He opens their hearts to the gospel. We share the good news. People believe. And it calls them here disciples. What's a disciple? We normally think of the 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Bartholomew, and I got to stop there because I know I can't name all 12 disciples. But a disciple is a follower that's attached to a teacher, okay? We think of it as maybe an apprentice, but in those days, a disciple was someone committed to a teacher. They're gonna travel with them, learn from them, work with them. That's what a disciple would be. So a disciple, a follower of Jesus, we're not talking about someone who has heard of Jesus or maybe prayed a prayer one time and then went on with their life. Disciple is someone who is called to believe and believes and follows God, follow Christ in their life. No one is perfect at this, but a disciple is someone who is walking, following after the Lord. And it says they were increasing in number. And so a complaint came from the Hellenists. Who are the Hellenists? Well, they're Greek-speaking Jews. They're Jewish. They could maybe trace their heritage back to a certain tribe of Israel. So they were Jewish people, but they had grown up more with a Greek culture. Maybe they were from outside of Jerusalem. Their families had moved out, but then come back. And so they can speak Greek. They might have some Greek culture. And oftentimes, these Jewish Greek people would stick together. Well, because they had a common language. They were more comfortable speaking Greek than Hebrew or Aramaic. So that you have Jewish people who just lived there in Jerusalem. They spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, which would be very similar. And then you have these other Jews who spoke Greek. So already you could see, well, is there a division? Are we going to have, we'll have two services on Sunday. We'll have a Greek-speaking service, and we'll have an Aramaic-speaking service. But that's not what we see here. We see them coming together. Well, they come together, and there's a problem. It says here, the Greek-speaking Jews had a complaint because their widows, the Greek-speaking widows, were being neglected in the daily distribution, in the daily ministry. It sounds like they were, remember, the people were selling their properties and selling things and bringing it into the church, and the apostles were distributing it, right? And Joseph, who was called Barnabas, he sold a field and brought the money, and he gave it to the apostles to give. Well, the widows would be at the top of the list of those who needed help. If they didn't have family to help take care of them, they couldn't work like they could when they were younger, and so they needed help. They're without a husband, maybe they're without children, they needed help. And so they're trying to distribute the money that were coming in. Well, I'm guessing there were more of the Jewish-speaking people there in Jerusalem, and so the Greek-speaking widows were being overlooked. I don't think it was intentional. I think it was just the apostles were very busy, and let's say they dropped the ball. And that happens. Now, I don't want to give them an excuse and say, well, you know, but it happens. They were overwhelmed with their responsibilities. Plus, their backs still hurt from being from being lashed, the 39 stripes that they got, from being beaten. They were trying to do it all. They were praying, preaching, healing, teaching, and taking care of the widows, and they dropped the ball. They couldn't do it all. Have you ever been in that place? You take on too much, and you're going to do it, and you're going to try, and you're going to do it, but eventually maybe you have to say, I've taken on too much. And that's where we're at in this story. God has a special place in his heart for widows. He orders that they be protected and provided for as part of the law that was given to the nation of Israel. Exodus 22, Deuteronomy 10, Deuteronomy 14, Psalm 146 speaks about the care for widows. Paul gives specific guidelines in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And Paul, as he gives the church more specific things, talks about age requirements for widows to be cared for and such. But here we see the ministry to widows was of special importance to the first church, and they were having administrative difficulties. That's what we would call it today. So what did the apostles do? Did they just say, okay, we'll try harder? We can get up at 4 a.m. and go to bed at midnight. We can try harder. Or they could have said, you know, we're really busy with the churchy things, and so we're sorry, there's nothing we can do about this. But that's not what they do. Look at verse 2. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. So they didn't say, Jewish Christians come in, Greek Christians, we'll talk to you later. No, the full number comes in. They're aiming for unity in the church. They're aiming for unity. Oh, by the way, that reminds me of back during COVID. Remember when we were trying to figure out what to do with COVID? Because we didn't know. I mean, is everyone going to get it? Is everyone going to get sick? Is everyone going to be on a respirator? We didn't know. And so we're trying to do the best, and it was impossible. It was impossible. But what we said was, okay, the older people are more at risk, and so let's have a service for them. So we did like a 9 o'clock service, and then we would sanitize everything. We had those alcohol wipes, and we'd sanitize the pews and everything. And then the older folks would leave, and then the younger people would come in. And we did that for a few weeks, the two services like that. And then the older people said, "We don't want our own service. We want to just be with everybody, and if we get it, we get it." that was the attitude of the older people. But we want to fellowship together and be united together. And so here they're saying, look, we'll bring everyone together for unity. And they said, here's the apostles, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." The serving of tables or putting the food on tables was important. It was important, but God called the apostles. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They are the ones who could answer the questions and who could boldly say, "Jesus is alive. We saw him die. We saw him rise. We've spent time with him after his resurrection." And so God has called us to preach the word about Jesus. Three times in this passage today, that's why the second, number two, is gospel-centered. Three times you'll see the word of God, the word of God, how it's central to this church and central to every church, should be. The apostles were to proclaim the word in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole earth. This other ministry of meeting people's physical needs was important, but it needed to be delegated. And so that's what we see in verse 3. "Therefore, brothers and sisters," family, right? Family. "Pick out from among you, from the church family, 7 men of good repute." That is, they're well spoken of. They have good reputation inside the church. And I think that includes outside the church. If they have a good reputation, they're known to be people with full of the Spirit and of wisdom. See that in verse 3? We're looking for men who are full of the Spirit. The council of the Sanhedrin that was condemning them says they were full of jealousy. That's what drove them to try to stop the gospel and stop the church. They were driven and full of jealousy. We're looking for servants instead who are full of the Spirit, who the Holy Spirit guides them in their life, and they're yielded to the Spirit. And if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit work in your life, you're going to be wise. You'll have wisdom. That's what how this fits together. They were full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, or literally this need. So the apostles don't say, we're too busy, you take care of it. Instead, they say, let's get more people involved. Let's get some leaders who are not just popular, but who are already known for their godly character and discernment. These need to be people we can trust with finances, that we can give them financial things, money, and then they'll distribute it and take care of the people who need it most. And so we're looking for servant leaders. That'd be your third point. People who will serve this need and help take care of these people. But number verse 4 is a major verse for me in the area of being a pastor, of pastoral ministry, like a philosophy, like how am I supposed to do what I do? And Pastor Matt and I talk about this. Oh, Pastor Matt and Sarah, they took some of the teens down to Camp Barakel for a youth retreat, and they'll be back this afternoon. But Matt and I, we talk about these things. For one thing, I've known this verse for a long, long time, and I've set my ministry philosophy on this verse. And in talking with Matt a couple weeks ago, I realized that I was misquoting this verse for, I don't know, 25 years? Long time. But I'm going to tell you how I have quoted this verse for about 25 years. But we will devote ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. These are the two essential things that a pastor should be doing. That the apostles, as they were the spiritual leaders, the ones who were teaching the word of God, that they were devoted to the word of God and prayer. That you preach the word, you explain the gospel and what it means and how to live for Christ. And you pray and pray and pray for God to work in the hearts of people. And for 25 years, I've had that backwards. Because you can read it and see that those are the two things, but that's not the order that the apostles say. They say, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Is that a significant thing? I am starting to think that it is. That it is significant. I think I want to be Bible-based. What I tell you as a church should not be my opinion, but should come right from this book and what these words meant when they were originally written and how it applies to you. And we spend hours and hours and hours every week trying to understand it and present it in a way that's helpful and understandable and practical to you. But I have to confess that for most of my ministry, I put my emphasis first in the week on studying the Word of God, and then at the end of the week, praying about it. And sometimes there's not time at the end of the week to pray much about it. Now, I have to tell you that while we're studying, there's an attitude of prayer. When you're going through a passage and you're reading, you're saying, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to be able to break it down and make it understandable. But to really spend time praying to God, praying for people, individuals in the church, praying for the ministry of all the different ministries that are happening. The apostles said that's their first priority, and the teaching of the word is a close second. Those are the two things, prayer and the ministry of the word. So I have been challenged just personally to try to start the week on Monday praying before I study and trying to put time into praying and saying, Lord, this is your church. These are your people. This is your book. So help me to do it and to lead the way you would want. That was what the apostles were devoted to. And prayer is already a major theme in Acts, already by chapter 6. That's why, number one here, God blesses team ministry that is prayer-driven, where people are praying. It's a miracle, it's a mystery that you and I can talk to God and He hears us, and He listens, and He answers. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, verse 24, 242, 3, verse 1, 424. Again and again and again, the church is praying. They're praying. They're devoted to prayer. And that's what the apostles say. We are going to devote ourselves to prayer. And then, I have to tell you this because I think it's fun. They're devoted to prayer and the ministry of the word. And if you see the word ministry in verse 4, it's the same word if you were to go up to chapter 6, verse 1, and you see the very last word in the ESV is distribution. They were distributing the food to the widows. It's the same word. The apostles use the same word. They say, we are going to pray and distribute the word. We need some men we can trust to distribute the bread, and we're going to distribute the word. We're going to be working. We're not just going to sit back and say, well, we can't be bothered. In fact, this isn't to say that the apostles can't help with practical things, that preachers are too busy to ever help with practical things. But if they have to make a decision, be ready to preach the gospel and trust others that can help with those physical needs. The church today tries to pattern its leadership after this model. Pastors can help with people's physical needs, but their main focus should be meeting spiritual needs through prayer and ministering the word. So in our church, the deacons then are trusted servants, that the word deacon really literally means servant, who take the lead. They are servant leaders. They take the lead by caring for physical needs in the congregation. That's not all they can do. We are going to see two of these men in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7 preaching the gospel. Stephen and Philip are evangelists as well as being deacons. So this is the plan. The apostles say, we're going to keep praying and spending time praying, and we are going to be ready and distribute the word, teach and preach the word. We need some help meeting the physical needs because that's important too. So what they said, verse 5, what they said pleased the whole gathering. Okay, there's unity there, and they're blessed. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's someone who trusts God and lets God's Spirit work in him. And Philip, who's another evangelist. And then there's these other names that Jack read. These other Prochorus and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, who is a proselyte of Antioch. Just a little note here. That means he was not Jewish. He would have been a Greek born, a Gentile, but who became a Jew. He became a Jew from Antioch, and now he's a Greek-Jewish Christian. He's now following Christ. And what's cool about this, he's from Antioch, and we're going to see another major church movement is going to go into Antioch, and they will have Jews and Gentile Christians there. And you know what they do? They send out Paul and Barnabas as missionaries. So we'll see more about that later, but this guy is from Antioch. Verse 6, and they set before the apostles, they set these seven men before the apostles, and they did what in verse 6? And they prayed. Again, prayer is key. They're inviting God to guide these men in their ministry. They're not just saying, we're the apostles, we approve these guys, go ahead and get to work. They're saying, we are going to pray and dedicate this giving of the distribution of food to the widows. That is so important. We want God to bless it. And this is what they've done. They lay their hands on them. That's a commissioning. They're recognizing their leadership. And then finally, we're in verse 7. And the word of God, third time that we'll have seen that in this passage. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Do you see this revival that's happening? And why does it happen? It happens because there was the growing pains and the struggle, and the apostles said, we're overwhelmed, we're dropping the ball. Let's get some help. Let's share the load together. Team ministry. So it's not all about me. It's not all about one person. We're working together. And then God is blessing. It's okay, now we've got people serving and helping. Needs are being met. And so the apostles are praying and they're giving the gospel. And God says here, the word of God continued to increase. That's a gardening term. By the way, won't be long. Yeah, you're going to be... Do any of you... You don't have to raise your hand. Do any of you plant seeds? Oh, I know one person over there does. Plants their own seeds, and maybe you have some grow lights so you can get your little plants growing, because by the time it's nice enough, we got a short season of growing, so you want to get a head start on that if you can. This word, the gospel, the word of God is increasing. It's growing like a tree. It's spreading out its branches, the gospel. If you can just picture that. In fact, I know Jesus said that the kingdom of God will be like planting a mustard seed, but then growing this big tree, and the birds will come and gather in it on the branches. And that's what we have happening. The gospel is stretching out. People are coming and landing on the branches of the gospel. It's growing, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. So, hey, if you like Bible study, and that word we use, hermeneutics, if you like studying the Bible and interpreting, you have here disciples greatly increasing in verse 7, but you already saw that in verse 1. So you have these bookends of God blessing the growth of people. Verse 1, verse 7, God is building his church. In the middle, there can be some struggle. There can be some growing pains. But can we work together? Can we serve? Can we forgive? And can we have a grace and patience and love and say, God, your gospel has changed my life. Now help me to love and to show compassion. Who has a need? Who can we reach out to help? The word of God is increasing. The number of the disciples is multiplying greatly. And get this, we'll finish with this. There are priests being saved. Priests in the temple. As I understand, there were thousands and thousands of priests who worked in the temple. Now, not every day, but they were on a two-week rotation. They would come in and serve for 2 weeks, and then they would go out, and then some more would come in. They're working in the temple, and many of them, hey, they were connected to the high priest family who was rejecting the church, rejecting the gospel. But amazingly, these priests began to realize Jesus is the final sacrifice. We don't need to do these sacrifices anymore for our sins or the sins of the people, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. And they started to see this. They started to realize that the work was done. And they believed. They trusted in Jesus as their Savior. It says, a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. In other words, they obeyed this command from God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And the priests began to obey that command, to put their faith in Christ alone. So God blesses team ministry that is prayer-driven, gospel-centered, and servant-led. The apostles were serving by distributing the gospel. These men were filled with the Spirit and distributing food. And God is blessing and doing a great work of salvation in this church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the good news that Jesus died for sinners, that he rose again to give us forgiveness and righteousness and eternal life to all who believe. And Father, as we trust in you and we receive salvation, there will still be needs. And Father, may we love our neighbor as ourself. May we look to meet and help the needs of others. Lord, may we not try to be solo agents, solo Christians, but may we come together, work together, serve together, and we commit all of the blessings and the help and the strength to you. And may our church grow and be blessed by you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.